Hey everyone, it's Michael. Before we begin, I want to remind you all to join the new Union Sports Goalkeeping Community, a social media network that reimagines how we engage, educate, and entertain one another. To download free, go to www.theunionsports.com or the Union Community on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Magid, live from Hollywood, California. With me momentarily will be 99 World Cup winner Saskia Weber, who's been having a bunch of spring meetings over at USC. You know how it is in the college game. They got meetings left, right, and center. And obviously at the professional game, they got going that as well. And we've got another panelist for you guys today. We got Brody Sams from Gotham FC. Brody, this is awesome, man. I'm excited for this. I know we've been chatting about the last couple weeks about a lot of information that you threw at us.
Yeah, I did. G'day, everyone. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to chatting with you. Hey, it's really cool to be on this.
I love the fact that you said the g'day right there, because people are like, oh, that's where that accent's coming from right there. That's a little bit of Australian coming for you. There's quite a few Aussie coaches out here, it seems like, in the United States now, Brody.
Well, that's a good thing. I haven't yet met any of them. I'm still getting to know everyone. I've been here almost, 8 weeks today, I think I've been here.
Wait, only 8 weeks? Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my
God.
So you went straight from Brisbane, you came straight here, and then they just kind of threw you right into preseason stuff.
Yeah. So I was in the middle of the start of the season with Brisbane, and then got a message from Scott early one morning of our first game in Brisbane, actually, of the season, and then went through the couple of weeks of interview process and everything like that. Yeah, I think it was about 6 weeks later I was sort of over here. And then I think I missed about 4 weeks of preseason or 3 weeks of preseason, then got straight into it. So I think I came in on a Thursday, had to quarantine for a few days, and then jumped in with the team on a Monday, straight after moving into a new place and everything like that. So you'll actually see in the clips.
Not just moving into jet lag. Like, you're talking about, like, it's like, you went back in the time. Like, you went to the day before, basically. You landed and it was Thursday, even though you left on Friday.
Yes, that's right. The travel was like 26 hours or something like that. And Australia is in the future by about 15 hours. So, yeah, it took a while. So you'll see on some of the clips, I think, the clips that I've got of the Gotham training are of like the first day or something. So there's some dodgy service, 3 hours sleep, you know what it's like. So
I'm sure they gave you the benefit of the doubt for it. I'm like, because the last thing you want to do is, like, you know, legendary goalkeepers like, you know, Ashlyn Harris and Michelle Batos is like bad service. And they're like, dude, they brought this guy 26 hours here.
Oh, man, that's what I was stressing about day one. I was like, oh, man, they're not going to know that I've slept for 3 hours, or maybe they will. Who knows? Oh, well, we'll see. They haven't told me to my face yet. So,
oh, my God. Grog Fog Fogson says, that is crazy. Grog Fog, I'm guessing you've never done that. You've never taken a job halfway across the planet, and the next day they're like, yeah, why don't you just serve pinpoint accuracy?
So. You'll see a couple that weren't pinpoint.
Well, dude, that's just me every day. That's honestly the way honestly the way that works. But, dude, you seem pretty refreshed now. I mean, obviously, it's a little bit of an adjustment, you know, going from, Australia, from the W League to NWSL. You know, kind of what's been kind of some of the challenges that you've had, that if you're talking to any young coaches who take a job here from overseas?
For sure. Well, the first one was adjusting to the time zone. And then obviously the temperature. We came in, and the first day I get here, I see snow, and I've seen snow like once in my life before that. So the temperature and the time zone were probably the biggest things to get used to. But in terms of the football itself, hey,
what's going on, Brody?
How are you?
Good to see you.
Likewise.
Are you complaining about East Coast temperatures right now?
I am. Yep. I'm complaining about a lot of things.
We were just talking about before he came on. We were just talking about the fact that, like, literally getting off the plane from Australia, he had to run a session with Ashlyn Harris and Michelle Batos.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Welcome.
Welcome. Yeah, it was a welcome. No, it was great. I mean, there's a lot of things that I've had to get used to. Like, first of all, we use kilometers over there, and it's miles here, and degrees Fahrenheit versus degrees Celsius. The amount of things that I didn't think of in terms of taking the job were, like, I'm still finding out now, two months later. Yeah, it's wild. But I suppose the biggest difference is at the moment. I mean, the quality of the league here, it's one of the best leagues in the world, especially in terms of competitiveness. The players' mentality, everyone's here to win. Everyone's here to try and get a spot in the world's best team, being USA. So, that's something to be, proud of, I suppose, of anyone involved in the league. The other difference, I suppose, here is it hasn't been a difficult thing to get used to, but the support behind the teams and within the league itself for, the Women's League compared to in Australia. It's a full-time season over here. You've got a lot of more full-time jobs, whereas over there, it's there's not as much resource behind the game yet. And so I really hope that they pick that up and, take a leaf out of the books over here. But, it's really been a pleasure. The people here, the staff here, the players, they've been really welcoming. I think it's been more of a cultural shock of moving from Australia to here and the temperature and the time zone, but it's starting to heat up now. Like, I was sitting outside in shorts for the first time, yesterday I looked like a tomato because yesterday I've seen the sun for the first time in 2 months. So it's good.
I miss that. I mean, I'm a Jersey girl, so I miss the seasons. Trust me. I'm like, when it never rains here and it's always beautiful and you really just want a lazy Sunday and it makes you feel guilty. Like, yeah. You're just like, yeah. Oh, come on.
I will say this, Brody, at least, like, when you go to the training pitch here, you don't have to worry that there's, like, a spider that is, like, extremely everything in Australia. What a cute little bug that is. They're like, yeah, that will kill you. And I'm like, why is it on the field? They're like, yeah, we're just getting used to it. You just don't go over and that's over to those bushes. I'm like, okay.
Someone else asked me about that the other day. It's wild.
Whatever that thing's called. Yeah.
The huntsman.
Huntsman, that's it.
Yeah, they're like this big. And you just got to get happy with them living on your wall, and then that's fine.
Oh, forget
that's just
it.
How it is. Either that or you go and sleep in the lounge room or something.
Just get happy. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that is crazy. Well, I do. It's crazy that you bring up about the fact about the professionalism of the league. I think one of the really cool things, Saskia, with the league now is that with the expansion, kind of all the way to the West Coast now into the Pacific, and these rivalries are just phenomenal now that you're getting.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The depth of the league is what I think really sets it apart. It is one of the best leagues in the world. And part of that is because when we talk about goalkeepers, we always talk about, like, your third string goalkeeper could start in another league. And when we also talk to them and say, well, go to another league and play, so you get games in. But, that depth is amazing. And it's always been this way here in the United States. But now, even with the internationals coming in and everything, it's incredible. Everything that the league now is putting into it and individual clubs are putting into it, just watching the way Angel City's handling things and San Diego and everything. It's nice to see considering where we came from. So.
Yeah. And I think, I love what Saskia, what you said right there. And this is something that always you've been very much clamoring about, is that go overseas and get games and make sure that you're getting that competition. Brody, there's a lot of on the flip side, a lot of Americans that have gone over to the W League and been performing very admirably over there.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think I was able to work with Nadine Angerer, who's over at Portland, and even Hayley Kottmeyer, who's played in the league. So, and she's played at a few different clubs, and there's a few of the goalkeepers themselves who have played over in Australia. And then we've had some of the other outfield players as well play in Australia. And I know that when the Aussie teams are preparing against teams who have got the internationals in them, where it, they're always like superstars. It's like, oh, I've got to watch out for like Lynn Williams, for example, when she she played. It was like, please, five of you can go and mark her this weekend. it's always a credit. The players who come over are next level, obviously, and that speaks to the league that they're coming from. It's got a way to go in terms of they need to have a longer league and they need to probably put some more resources into the, especially the staffing. But I know they're on their way. You know, the clubs are on their way to trying to support the women's side of the game and hopefully that will, for Australians, will reward the younger generation as well.
I was hoping we'd get Tegan over here.
Yeah. Tegan, I know that I think she's playing in, where is she now? Sweden. I was like,
come on, the league could use Tegan.
Yeah, there's Tegan and even Mackenzie. You know, she's with the Matildas as well, playing in England. Had a couple of sessions with them actually just before I came over here and just before they went into camp with the national team. And they're fantastic people and they're fantastic goalkeepers. So, yeah, you know, they could definitely fit into this league, you know, on both counts. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
I want to bring this up, Brody, because, obviously, you know, you making this transition over from the W League over to the NWSL, do you feel that having that experience of coaching, because a lot of people go from the collegiate game here to the professional game in NWSL, but do you feel like being in a professional environment and then heading to NWSL was an easier for you than going like college first and then to pro?
I would say yes, in terms of my own personal experience. I haven't experienced the college game, so I can't really say what the comparison is, but I can say that, you know, I had some experience working with the A-League men's competition for 5 or 6 years. I worked with the A-League youth competition and the women's competition. So I saw the top level over there for the best part of 10 years. And, it's actually not too dissimilar here. In terms of how the program is run, there's still areas for improvement. The same problems are there in terms of, you know, sometimes you're renting space from an MLS club or whatever it might be, you might be sharing. So they have the same problems over in Australia with their leagues. So it's been easy to adapt. Haven't had to change too much. The staffing is fairly similar in terms of where I came from in the men's game into the women's game here, which again is a credit to the league here. Working in the program, your roles and responsibilities as a goalkeeping coach are the same. The standards, I've always been in high standards working with some of the best players that are in that country, which is a blessing and a privilege on my part. But, I would say that that's made it easy to come and fit into this. I haven't had to, you know, feel like I'm overwhelmed or anything like that. It's more like just getting used to the way that the processes are done here and the people here and the tiny little things. But overall, you know, it's fairly similar. You know, you've got the same training weeks, you've got the same expectations, you're here to win and get the best out of the people that we're working with and yourself.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that, and by the way, I don't want to negate the college game for anybody watching around the world, you know, or listening to the show around the world right now. The Division One NCAA women's and all the divisions, honestly, is of extremely high level, and it's handled very professionally. As Saskia can tell you, who's been working at the highest of levels at the college game for the last couple of years, and it is almost like a professional environment.
Oh, it is. I mean, I can only speak for the two places I have been, but, you know, UCLA and now USC, but it is handled like a professional team. And you know, that a lot of that goes to the universities and what they put into the programs and the facilities and everything. It was actually an incredible surprise to me, like finally getting back into the college game and seeing just everything, the way it's handled, the way it's run. Like I said, the facilities, the, you know, off the field training and the physios and everything. Like, it wasn't like that when I was playing. But it's great, and it makes it an easier transition, honestly, for the players to go pro. I don't think it's such a big jump or shock in expectations and how to handle yourself and everything.
We have a question in the comment section right here, and I think it's actually relevant to right now. So, Grog Fogson, also, if you can tell us where in the world you're watching the show from, we always love to hear where our fans are. And he goes, what's the most prevalent difference between the college and the pro game? I'll let Saskia start since she's currently in the college game.
Well, I mean, obviously speed of play and just the game overall. I mean, you're taking the best of college and everything and putting it on, I'm putting it onto all different teams, and the best internationals and putting it onto all different teams. So the level obviously is much higher. You know, you're talking, when you're talking about a UCLA or a UNC or Florida State, you know, that's the upper echelon of college soccer. So your depth on those teams is, you know, a lot of those girls can go pro. It trickles off a bit as you come down from there, but I think that it's definitely speed of play, quality, and really an overall understanding of the game itself, reading the game, understanding systems, and it's just that knowledge is another level.
Brody, anything you want to add to that? Or I mean, I think that was succinctly put.
I'm pretty sure Sasuke hit the nail on the head.
I've had 3 cups of coffee today. I'm ready to answer smart. Here we go.
That was awesome.
It's so funny because, like, I had my my online comedy show, which we're moving now to Sundays since we seem to be doing a lot of podcasts on Thursdays, and I can't do both at the same time. And so I was doing my online comedy show, and all I could think of is, like, I don't want to talk that much. Like, I'm just going to let everybody else do long sets, and I'll just sit there because I need to save my voice for Brody Sams and Saskia Weber. And that's how it is, guys. That's how important you all are in the goalkeeping community. Let's get into this topic here, because this is a really good topic that Brody broached today. And today's topic is deciphering the moment and kind of recognizing the differences between your different goalkeepers and how they can determine what's the most successful action for them based on the moment. Brody, kind of in your words for people out there who are listening who don't know what we mean by the moment, what do we mean by the moment?
So I think it's basically about the scenario of the game that you're in. I mean, the game is the teacher. That's what we're training for. It's what we're coaching. It's all about the game. And I think that, you know, as Saskia said just before, that a difference between college and the pro is the understanding of the game, and all the little details within that. And so I suppose an approach that I try and take with my coaching is, how can you incorporate the game always, and how can you incorporate the movements, the pictures, and all of the habits that go within that into everything that you do? Because then the speed at which you can recognize things and recognize the scenarios. So, like, let's say, for example, the ball is either central and there's pressure on the ball. That's going to determine a certain decision, positioning. There's a lot of things you can take off that. And it also changes if the ball's wide and there's no pressure on the ball. So it's basically, what's the scenario you're faced with? Is the ball in a crossing position? Is it in a position where, you know, you're dealing with a through ball? You know, is it a shot-stopping position? So it's understanding what sort of moment or scenario the game is putting you in, or that you're looking at from a perspective of a goalkeeper.
Yeah. And I think something that's really important about that, you know, and Saskia, you know, tell me how you feel about this, but is that you need to let young goalkeepers understand that there are several different outcomes in every moment. Every picture you see, there's several different outcomes, and you have to be ready for all of them, right?
No, absolutely. I think, you know, I think, like, talking about different goalkeepers and how to handle things, I think that it is important to, with your training, you have to make it as game realistic a lot as possible to deal with all those scenarios and how each individual goalkeeper is going to handle them and adjust to them. I think about it, one of the goals against UCLA this weekend, and, you know, Sunshine drilled a ball that I think that if the way Anna got scored on, I think that had she done a step in a front smother, it would have been an easy save. She tried to drop down, it went under her. But then I take Reason, and I know that Reason, with her explosiveness, she's a little lower to the ground, probably would have come up with a save the way Anna did it. So, you know, it's different goalkeepers, same situations, and how their body, how their speed of play, how their reaction would deal with each situation, and they would both deal with that differently. So you have to, in training, it's not just one size fits all. We talk about that all the time. It's not because one goalkeeper makes the save this way, it doesn't mean that's the best fit for the other goalkeeper.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you just brought that up, Saskia, because Brody and I, we were actually talking about this earlier, and the fact that a lot of young coaches, they start telling their goalkeepers to do things a certain way. And then somebody does something differently and it's successful. And then they kind of look at the coach and go, but so-and-so did it like that. Why can't I do it like that? And you have to kind of explain to them. And it's very difficult, especially with young kids, right, Brody?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people like to be told what to do and how to do it. and even that, that's where a lot of the game used to be 10 years ago, 5 years ago, it used to be all about that. Athletes were very good at doing what they were told. And doing that well. And then when something happened, like something had to force a decision out of them, they'd look over and go, but you told me to do this. And that's why I think that the game is evolving and coaching and training is evolving into allowing people to make decisions that suit themselves. And then within that, you have to know your strengths, your weaknesses,
right,
as an individual. You've got to know if you're taller, for example, you're going to do something different as to someone who's a little bit smaller. Ash, for example, is one of the best at blocking and smother, coming out and spreading. But you've got other goalkeepers who might not be as confident to do that. So they might have to find a different way of dealing with that scenario. And I think you actually might see some of those in the clips. But, with the young kids, I think it's all about, you've got to set the environment that allows them to try these things and explore. And with that, you're always balancing, the amount of reps you get of just one technique versus a scenario which has a lot of different things that can happen from it. And you might not get, 100 catches, but you do get 100 opportunities of recognizing the scenario and going, oh, maybe I could have done this in this scenario. Maybe I could have done this based on what I've seen or felt. And I think that's certainly one of my personality, even in through I coach, I'm all about how'd you feel, why'd you feel that way, and you've got to ask yourself that question, because then eventually you get to understanding why you're doing something. And if you understand why you're doing something, you're actually going to put more into it. You're more empowered, and you'll enjoy what you do a lot more as well.
Yeah,
I love that you just brought that up right there, because Saskia, a mistake that I made when I was younger is that a player would explain to me why they did something that ended up being successful, and I would get frustrated because it's not the way I wanted to do it. And I realized that this is something that with field players that has been going on for years and years and years, where people have been stemming creativity. Do you feel like we need to, how much freedom do we need to give young goalkeepers? Like, is it just all a hodgepodge, or do we have to rein them in a little bit?
Well, I mean, there are certain techniques that are across the board, period. Like when it comes to reading the game, if there's pressure on the ball, the angle play and stuff, it varies for the size and the ability of the goalkeeper. There's certain things that are basic. And so within those basic things, then you can let people explore what their strengths are. I think the blocking was a great analogy of that, because like, I think of, I had one goalkeeper last year who was great at coming out and actually standing a attacker up and making them try to dribble her and then timing it right and going down hands to the ball for a smother, where I had another goalkeeper whose timing was so perfect, more like Ashlyn, where it was, she was great at doing a case save and a block. And so each of those goalkeepers, each one is a successful way to handle the situation, but they're still basics within the situation. So once you have those basics down, then you can give a little free rein to see, how it best suits the players.
So I want to throw up some pictures right now. So I'm going to put up some of this stuff right here. Can everybody see this right here? This is Saskia's favorite part, is when people start putting up their little presentations right now. She just starts taking screenshots and notes.
You actually see me with I never knew you could see me take the screenshot. I'm like, ooh, I like this drill.
Okay. So we're going to see, obviously we got three different goalkeepers right over here. So why don't you kind of walk us through, Brody, what's going on here before we start playing the clip here?
Sure. So this is just a, I mean, it's a general passing pattern warm up, but the scenario is, you know, when one of your, the ball starts with me who's out of screen. So you'll see I get past the ball here from Mish, and the keeper's got to come and drop off, give a good position. And then they can play whoever they want. And those positions are generally like a six, or Mish is a six, or a midfielder, and you've got Hens out there as a like a centre back. This is just a warm-up, so they've got freedom to play whoever they want, just getting repetition of touches and repetition of using the space that they would in a game. And then you can see basically in this next drill, which is it's very similar, the ball comes from a wider position. This is obviously Brisbane keepers, where now you turn that into a live situation where you've got the pressure. So instead of having, if you just pause it there,
Right here.
yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Where the goals are, they're pretty much where in the exercise before I had our players just taking the pass, just getting them warm, getting them playing into the spaces that they would, and then you would establish the or progress the session into, you know, having decision making. So you add the goals in and having pressing players. So in that instance, I think it's Georgie Wirth. She's realize she's pressed by two and she's going to go long. Whereas if she feels like she can play into one of the goals, then she can do that as well. But it's all now you're starting to perceive pressure. But before that, I had them, you know, just exploring the spaces, exploring the touches, what kind of touches works for them to play into those same sort of areas that you will see on the weekend, based on obviously the opponents that we're playing. So, you know, as the ball goes to one of our wide backs, you're probably going to have one press you. From where the balls come from, and then you might have the opposite winger or a 10, for example, press you from the center. And that's this is a non, you know, a scenario where you've got no pressure, but you're still playing into those same areas. So it's fairly technical. It's just a warm up, and then the next drill, like you saw in the with the Brisbane keepers, is starting to turn that into a more of a live scenario. But you then give them the freedom to practice those touches and any technical things that they want to do in terms of passing with no pressure, and then you add the pressure in later on,
I
if
love,
that
I
makes
love.
sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And honestly, I wish I was taking screenshots right now because I'm going to take a mental note right here. But Saskia, what I love right here is that I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of warm-ups where the patterns are predictable. They're kind of scripted patterns, and this kind of gives the freedom for the goalkeeper to imagine in their minds what could be the potential options that they have available in
Right.
that moment.
Right. I mean, you always want to throw in options and multiple options because that's how the game is. You know, there's a certain amount of repetition in a warm-up and everything like that without pressure and stuff, but it to move forward from it, yes, you want different options, different looks. The service isn't always going to be good coming in. So is it a one touch? Is it a two touch? If you have multiple options, you make a bad touch. Can you choose a different option that is better for the touch you made? And just keep it as real as possible.
Yeah, as I just realized, Hector Castro just put up
Yeah,
there goalkeeper.
it's
It's International
International
Goalkeeper Day.
Goalkeeper Day.
Did you know that, Brody? It's International Goalkeeper Day today.
Yay, happy International Goalkeepers Day.
I didn't figure that out either until I saw like Instagram and stuff. I was like, oh, okay.
I just saw all these posts with goalkeepers, and I was like, well, I think I just follow a lot of goalkeepers. I think that's just what's going on.
It's awesome to talk to you guys on this day then.
There we go. Look
What
at what a
a
better
line
day.
well.
So let's move on from here. So not here. Receiving from wide.
Even there, you can see we've got the small goals that she could play into that are representing like centre backs and midfielders. But George
Yeah.
has decided to go long there because she's like, you know what? I'm feeling like that's an option because in a game, if you're pressed by two and you've got high pressure, there's going to be space behind that pressure. But at the same time, in that scenario, if you're feeling unsafe, don't risk playing short. Just, you know, let's go into areas.
Yeah, and I think you see a lot, and when we play small-sided a lot and stuff like that, you see those poor decisions, and it's like, well, are you playing the small-sided game? Like, would you ever make that pass? And like, I had one of my keepers look at me and be like, you know, I just felt like I should have just sent. I go, you should have just sent it. You know, I don't care that it's a small-sided game and all that stuff. Like, you know. there's too much pressure on you inside, basically inside the 18, and you would never make that little short pass. You're playing a rondo right now in a small-sided game, which you would never do. So make the decisions that you would make in a game, regardless 100%. Of the situation.
Yeah.
I have a question, Brody, before we go kind of back to this. So we're talking about options and everything. How do we, with especially like the foundational ages, I think one of the biggest problems when it comes to young kids is when they find one thing that works, they beat it to death because it worked that one time. So they're expecting it to always work. And they don't even think about the fact that there are other options. How do we help young kids go like there's alternatives to what you did, even though that worked that one time, like explore these other things?
I mean, I think it's up to the coach. I mean, you've got to be able to know what those other options are. For example, you know, it could be as simple as controlling a ball with the leading foot. It could be controlling with the outside of the foot. It could be crossing the ball body, you know, your foot over the body and switching the play. Like I think it goes into, and this is how I would do it, is, you know, if you saw a goalkeeper trying to do the same thing over and over again, just because they know that they're good at it, I think you want to try and add as many tools to the toolkit of a goalkeeper as possible and go, well, look, you know, whilst you've tried this and you are good at it, well done, congratulations. How about, you know, give them a different scenario and say, well, would it work in this scenario? Would it work in this scenario? And then again, you know, they'll either say yes or no, and that's up to how much time you've got and if you want to really go and explain it and show them the pictures. But one thing might not always work in a certain scenario. And again, I think that's why we need to understand the moment of the game and understand if we can get our eyes up and see the pictures that we're dealing with as much as possible and understand what that means. So are we being pressed by one player? Are we being pressed by two players? I know that we're talking foundational ages, but you can still put these kids into scenarios where they've got one person running at them. And you can say, well, maybe they only take the ball across their body. Maybe there's a time where, because if you do that, then you're canceling out where the ball's come from. You're not going to be able to play. If you're taking the ball just across your body, you're not going to be able to play back there. But maybe if if you're able to keep your hips open longer, then you can drop a little pass in front of that player and to a center back, for example, who's just lent you the ball, you can give it a quick one back. But if your first and only instinct is to take the ball across your body and close off your body, then you're only going to play across to the other side. And so I think if you have the time, then you should be able to try and explain these different scenarios, because what you've got to adapt to, and that's why you need these different tools, is you've got to adapt to the opposition. That's what you're training to do.
Right.
You're training to learn what are the opponents doing. If they press you in a curved run this way, what kind of touch might you take? If they press you in a straight run and they're going quickly, what kind of touch might you take? If they're pressing you on a different angle, what kind of touch might you take?
I'm just picturing all these scenarios right now in my head right now. So I'm just like thinking, I'm like, do I do this every single time?
And well, you have to remember that if you do it every single time, your opponent's going to know. Yes. So if you're always taking that touch across your body, the opponents have already like done their video, done everything and said, look, every time she does her prep touch, it's coming across her body. So she's closing off where the ball came from.
Yep.
So we already know that it's going to this side of the field. So let's get ready to jump on it. And so you have to have multiple options in your toolkit, just like Brody said.
Yeah.
I think a fundamental, like Saskia was saying before, is one of the fundamental things that if you're talking about dealing with a back pass like we were, is to keep your hips open for as long as possible.
Yeah.
And from there, you can take any kind of touch you want. You know, Ash chooses to take with the outside of her foot there, but she could also use her left foot to come across. She could also use the instep of her right to go there. So there's not one way to do anything. It's just about understanding yourself and understanding what you're good at. But also understanding the different kinds of pictures you're going to be exposed to.
Yeah. I want to move to this right here. So let's see, we're getting out of here. Okay. So now this is the next step in the session.
Yep. So this would go into like it's a different scenario. So the other two clips were dealing with a back pass from wide. And this one here is now an example of how I would sort of get the decision-making of a scenario, like the ball's coming from a crossing position. You know, I look at a lot of the goals in the NWSL are scored from crosses, outswingers, low outswingers, and cutbacks. And so we need to get the whole movement pattern as a habit. We need to get them seeing the position of the ball, who's taking it, with what foot, so on and so forth. So this is more of a technical based, you could almost say, is a crossing warm up. You could regress it by throwing the cross in. In this instance, I'm out there trying to kick with my left foot. trying be the key word.
Was this after just getting off the plane?
It's one of the first sessions that we did, yeah. But you can see here that, like, I'm crossing from different positions, so they're having to drop into the goal and find positions in relation to where I am. And then they've got a choice if they want to add a role into one of the players who's finding a general finishing position. So, you know, if crosses come in, there's certain areas that they're going to go to that the keeper's going to retreat from and get into the right. goal and make saves from. And so they can choose to take the catch. And then if they want to replicate, you know, a shot, they can roll it, drop back into a good shot stopping position and take that save. Or they can just go and take the first cross and then get it back out to me. So there's no real, you know, the ball's not moving from where I am. It's a dead ball. They just drop in, get the eye in to take the cross, and then they can decide what they want to do based on how they're feeling.
I think the good thing that younger coaches and players out there don't realize to add in, like, a realism in that is the retreat position from that. Like, so many times when we're doing a drill like that, the keeper's already set and they're already just in this and, like, in their position, and all they're doing is coming forward, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's not really realistic. You know, if the ball's going out wide and you're backing into the goal, then you have to decide back up when to come forward. And do I have to reposition myself? And that makes it more game realistic.
Mm. So you can see that one there. Ash was dropping in for the cross into a position where if the cross is in an area that she can take, she would. But if it's not, then she'd retreat and make a save. And I think she does make the save. Eventually this session, it does. There you go. She's dropping in.
Yeah. But see, you see most people, like, if they're already in the position where that's not realistic. So it's actually seeing when the ball is getting struck for the cross. So you're backing into position, like, mm-hmm. in reality, and then realizing when you have to set so that you do have the ability to come forward instead of you're still retreating and you never have the ability to come forward. So those little things make it more game realistic.
Yeah, and I think the progression after this is where we actually get the ball moving out wide, so the keeper has to move in relation to those. I suppose the only time you would do it and you're stood still would be if you're practicing corner kicks or wide free kicks. And even then, you're probably not going to have – well, if it's a corner, you might have those mannequins where they are, but if it's a wide free kick, you're probably going to have them up because the space you're defending is different.
Yeah.
So as you said, this is all about sort of dealing with crosses in the game. So I'm trying to get them to move into position and then – take the cross or just decide to cover the goal. And here you can see we're moving the ball out wide and the keeper has to adjust their positioning based on where we are. It can either be crossed from down the byline or it can be crossed from sort of outside the top of the box. And there's some readjustments they've got to make. And then I think this clip here is where the ball's... Now, this is my first session with the girls. So you can see there on my left foot, it's a bit slow and bobbly in there. But even then, having said that, they still have to adapt. The ball's been played out wide. They have to find a position off me, off my touch, based on what I can do and what do they decide to do. Now, the slower ball, Misha's made the right decision to go and attack it, close the space down, and she's got the reward of making a save. And then the next one, the ball's higher. She's got a more open position. The ball's played towards her. Again, you know, in that instance, you've got Ash who'd probably fly out and spread. You saw Mish tried to stand up a little bit more. Mish is low. She turns in, repositions, and okay, so the shot's not on target, but she's practicing the speed at which she's seen, right, I'm not getting the first ball. It's been cut back to the top of the box. What's my movement to prepare for that shot?
I love that you just brought up the thing right there real quickly, Brody, in regards to, like, the shot is not necessarily on target. Because I think a lot of young goalkeepers, they get lazy and they start just going like, well, that's a bad ball. I'm just going to play off. Staying off this play, as opposed to thinking like, well, what would you do in a game? Because every touch isn't going to be clean, and you're still going to have to be able to adjust. And you never know what could happen. You never 100%. Know.
Right, and that's the difference of doing the drill and not thinking the drill and not the game. It's like, well, we're doing crosses. Or we're doing slotted balls, and that was a bad touch. So let's go to the next one. No, you know, because in the game, that's reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a question here actually from Pitt women's coach, Jesse Goldman. And he goes, two-part question for both of you guys right here. And Seska, we'll start with you. What have you learned about yourself / coaching methods after working with these high level GKs? And what do you think they've taught you? And then we'll go to Brody.
I mean, I
where do we start?
Thanks, Jesse, for loaded questions right here, putting people on.
Jesse, I learn every day from my keepers. You know, I think part of what we're talking about is that I've learned that more of our training has to be game-like scenarios. The difference between individual goalkeepers and how to adapt my training sessions to fit those different styles, but keeping my session the same, like for everybody the same, but understanding that everybody's going to handle things differently. There's a lot. Like I said, I learn every day from the players, how some people read the game, how some people don't, how to adapt and how to teach them to read the game faster. And really understanding the goalkeeper as an individual.
But anything you want to add?
Well, it's essentially the same.
You've got legends with you right there. So
yeah. Well, first of all, I'm blessed to have Betos and Ash to work with, and Hens. You know, they've come from three different places, you know, three different backgrounds, sort of thing. You know, but even working with people like Nadine when she was over here, German background, they teach in a different way, they expect training to be in a different way. And so when I first started, I was a very technical coach. You know, I had a million cones out and you know.
We all were, I feel like.
100%. And then my mentor at the time, Jason Keaton, he was our head goalkeeping coach. He, you know, we were talking one day and we were just watching the game. We said, why don't we just replicate the movements that they do in the game?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's just do that. You know, even as simple as a warm-up from the top of the box, jogging all the way back as the ball transitions from our front third all the way down, even that sort of gets overestimated because you want to be efficient at that. And so little things like that, it just went, and from that moment forward, I changed everything I did. I just went, watched the game over and over and over and over and worked backwards from there. And then it's just a process of reverse engineering. But I suppose the biggest thing that I've learned dealing with these goalkeepers is essentially you've got to have compassion and empathy of where they've come from and what has worked for them in the past. You know, I'm dealing with goalkeepers who are older than I am. They've been in this league a lot longer than I have. And they've dealt with some very experienced goalkeeping coaches and they've found what works for them. I'm not going to try and change anyone, but I will try and add a new, you know, I'll try and give them scenarios where they can try and explore, because everyone can explore, everyone can get better, where they can try and, you know, explore ways in which they can get better at getting, you know, the speed of their habits, speed of thought. Is there a different way that maybe I haven't thought about doing this before? And I suppose that's all I can offer. But understanding where they've come from and what they need is probably the biggest thing. And trying to blend that with my own personal beliefs about how to teach and how to guide and how to develop. That's probably been the biggest thing. Even the other day, you know, I had a session planned out in which I wanted to get across, but in talking to Ash and Mish, we just went and changed it pretty much on the fly during the session to go back a couple of steps, and we focused on a bit more technical to get a bit more higher reps, where I was thinking about trying to create the game scenario where that action would come out more. But they knew that they wanted to just go, no, we want just success in the action itself and to work on the technique itself, and we'll go from there. And, you know, it worked for them and they had a great session. So that's probably one of the biggest things is being able to adapt as well to what these people need and not being so stubborn in, you know, everything that I believe. Because at the end of the day, I'm massive about the player themselves. They're the ones who have to play.
Yeah.
So they need to feel like they're in the game. They need to feel like they're preparing well. They need to feel like what they're getting is based on the game. And I tell the keepers all the time, if you don't feel like you're in the game, tell me so I can change.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, just Brody, just to step in right there, I think, you know, Seska, you know, you've played at the highest level, and you had several different goalkeeper coaches throughout your time there, you know. And I think, you know, one thing that you've always brought up is that, you know, the coaches at that highest of level recognize that it's about what they your need as opposed to what they need. And that's really how you coach at that level.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I maybe the majority of amount of cones I use is maybe 8. But like, if that, and very, very seldom. Like, I think that the thing, I agree with you so much. The thing I've learned is, you know, it's how can you make it as game realistic as you can, especially at this level. I get it with a lot of the stuff technically for younger kids and stuff like that, when you're trying to get their footwork right and everything like that. But at this level, it's more, how can you replicate that? How can you replicate it to focus on the needs of the individual goalkeeper that you're training?
Yeah. Brody, question for you. Are you down? I've got some clips of different actions of your three different goalkeepers. You down if I throw some of these up there?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, let's do this. They're all good actions here. Okay, so let's see here. Boom. Oop, can everybody see this? Okay, so we're going to break this down right here. This was against Orlando. This is Ashlyn Harris. 18th minute against Orlando. Sydney LaRue dribbles inside the 18 at the top with just a slight angle, dribbles, and Ashlyn holds position. Great save. Boom. I think she tried to bend that ball. So let's kind of break it down from the top. Kind of walk us through what happened right here.
Yeah, so I mean, you've got LaRue dribbling in there to the corner of the box, and on her right foot, she cuts in. So Ash is probably staying close to her, relatively close to her line, because there's no one threatening the space in behind our defenders. You know, she can't really slip that ball in for Ash to go and make a block. So she's preparing for a shot. And generally, when a winger cuts in like that, there are a couple of places that they can go. They're going to try and bend it around the goalkeeper to that, you know, Ash's left in this case, which I think is what she does. Or they can try and sneak it down low near post. Generally, that's going to go between a defender's legs. But when someone cuts in, they're trying to bend it across. And Ash has taken a little step there to prepare herself to be able to dive to her left comfortably. And she actually does a good job at holding it.
Yeah, great angle play right there. Suska, anything you want to add to that?
No, it's just about reading the game. Her positioning's good, so, you know, and understanding where her defenders are and what Sydney really her only option is. And reading the game early and knowing that shot. Now, you can get – she's not cheating, so she's not going, I know Sydney's going to go far post. So if she does hit it between the defender's legs, she's caught. But the positioning's – good in the sense that she can just hold position and get that jump and make the save and hold on to it, which I love.
Yeah.
Hold the ball.
Gotta hold on to the ball. If she doesn't, look at where that striker goes.
Yeah, she doesn't.
Exactly.
Have goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And even if she parries it, you're still in trouble in the outside far post area. So, you know, hold the ball.
Hold the ball if you can, absolutely.
I love it. I love it. All right.
There's a little detail there that we do like to, we sort of spoke about and we have conversations about this as well, is that how far forward Ash is to deal with when they cut inside. A lot of some keepers like to step forward there. And if you step forward, you sort of leave yourself exposed to that curl or the lob,
right,
if that makes sense, and into that far post. So it's important to stay connected to the goal, if you want to say, call it that. Because that will allow you, if it does go any higher or if it is loopy sort of towards Ash's left top corner, you might be able to, you know, sort of get a top hand to that. But if you're too far out, you might, you know, you probably
it's got no might chance. Dip over you.
Yeah, 100%. So she's just staying connected so that she can give herself time to go and see it, whether it's loopy or bent or driven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very important message right here coming on.
Hi, Raphael.
Hey.
After run training and goalkeeper party after. All right. Thanks, Raphael. And then he'll watch the episode later. Oh, thanks, Raphael.
Legend.
Always learning, man. You're always learning. Shout out to you, man. Seriously. I want to bring up this right here after we go to this play right here, because I think this is another – I think this is right here. Boom. Okay. So we kind of get back to this here. I think this is near the end. This is near the end of the half, right? LaRue again.
Again.
Dribbling.
Yeah, they love LaRue, using LaRue as the outlet.
directly. But basically what happens in this play right here is that this time Ashlyn takes an aggressive position and steps forward, recognizes she's high when the ball is played, and she goes for the foot save at the tight angle. So she sees she's high right there, recognizes that her only option as that ball's coming is to get that foot quick down and across like that. And that's very different than how Mish would handle that scenario.
Yep, I would say so. I'd say Mish would probably stay back and stand up a little longer. But Ash is probably, you know, one of the best in the world at closing angles down and spreading,
right,
as you can see here. And because you've got Mandy close and sort of closing that far post option for Sydney off, you can see that Ash is able to step forward and spread because she is one of the, that's something that works for her. You know, the only place there that Sydney could really go is over the top of Ash's shoulders.
And probably not with the way she's running. And
yeah, 100%. Yeah. Because she's going so quickly, it's probably going to be difficult for her to do that. So Ash's, you know, she's taking that touch. Ash has closed the space down quickly from there. And then she's able to stand up, and then she drops at the perfect moment.
Yeah, and so, I love that she recognizes the long touch when Sydney takes it.
Yeah.
And during that long touch, when Sydney can't hit the ball, is when Ash steals her space and 100%. Then gets set. And a lot of times you see keepers that haven't gone yet, and now they're taking this.
Now they're trying
to take the space, and now Sydney's hitting the ball and they're moving. And so, and that is a huge mistake that goalkeepers make. It's when that ball is in a split second of no man's land is when you're taking your approach step and then get set, you know? 100%. So, yeah.
And the other thing to notice here is Ash has gone forward because there's no one for Sydney to use her left foot to like cut the ball back to. Like, as in she can't cut that back. So Ash's, if this winger was closer to, you know, our defender, Ash might have a different decision to make. She might have to stay closer to the post.
So if she slots the ball, she can get across.
100%. So in this instance, she's already had a look at what's going on in the middle. And is there anyone making a run to try and get a cutback? In this instance, there's not. And so Ash is able to go and work with Mandy to close the space down and you know, good save.
Yeah, good save.
Yeah. Suska, I know you need to run in a couple minutes here, so I want to throw up. I want to get out of here. We're going to get out of here, and now I want to throw up some Mish examples, so people can kind of see how, again, everything is relative to what you're comfortable with, and also the different scenarios here. So I think this was recently, right? This was against North Carolina.
Yeah, right? last match against NCC. Yep.
So, and this was early. I think this was like very beginning of the game, and Carson Pickett hits a left-footed strike across outside with pace, but the ball starts moving when it starts getting near Michelle. So she recognizes that and doesn't take any chances. And this time, this is a different situation where you can steer that into a good area because there are no players on coming into that space. You don't have to worry about that as much.
100%.
Yeah, but I think it's another thing. Like, look, she's staying connected. This is the time you do stay connected to the line and the goal. Look where that shot's coming from. If you're off, you're making a whole world of trouble for yourself. It could dip over you. It could go a totally different way. So look at how deep she is because of where the shot's coming from.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, I actually spoke to Mish yesterday about this. And at first I was like, you were trying to catch that initially, weren't you? And then it changed. And she's like, yep. And then so I decided to parry. So, you know, even in the decision, like the flight of the ball from hitting her foot and then moving in the air, she's had to change her decision, which is, you know, it's why I think you've got to start going with two hands and then you can change if you need to. You know, you can go top hand, bottom hand, or you can
absolutely do to it. Absolutely. Yeah.
You see a lot of keepers just extend with one arm and you're like, well, maybe you should start with try and go with two.
Two, and then
you can, yeah.
100%, because a lot of times you see younger keepers and keepers automatically extend with one arm, and whether that hand's up too early, and they don't get the power behind it from their push to actually really get a good parry, and sometimes you see it get blown right by them. So if you go with the two, then you have that energy behind it, and then it's just the one, and you can make the change. You can change your mind on it.
100%.
All right, I got one more clip of hers. I think it's coming up right after this. I think it's right here. So I think She holds.
You're
so this is an interesting
with your
play.
Goalkeepers.
I know.
You're so.
Hey, your USC keepers could be watching right now. So like
the depth of your goalkeepers at Gotham. Oh. You're so spoiled.
And his third is 6'3".
Oh. It's funny. We were doing crosses the other day, and I was putting them in, and then you've got like Mish and Ash who are jumping through the air and taking these great catches and punches. And I put in the same ball for Hensley, and she just stands there and puts her arms up and catches it. I'm like, come on! That's great. We're truly blessed. We're truly blessed.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I want to throw this one up right here. So I'm really curious on Brody, what you think about this right here.
Yep.
So this is the 33rd minute. I think the cross comes in. Mish holds a good position on your post. Daniel's at the end line. Oh, no, sorry. No, this is not the one I wanted to show. Sorry. Where the heck is the play?
Good take overhead, though.
Still good take. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is the one. Okay, so this is the one. This is an interesting play right here. So this was in the 33rd minute right here. This is the ball that dropped here.
Yep.
She holds here. And I'm curious to your thoughts right there, because to me, what it looks like as we watch this action here, as the ball's hit, is basically what happens is at the end line, there's a step over by Daniels cutting to get separation, and she hits it at the near post. Michelle extends, and despite it's not the cleanest handle, because of her position and her body shape, it leads to the ball being played into safety. If she'd been a step back, that could have been an issue.
For sure. I think the if you go back before she even – so, yeah, about there, a bit more when she gets a touch to there – that she could still left foot that, you know, down to Misha's left quickly in towards the near post. So Misha's got to be ready. And then as it adjusts slightly, as she cuts back there's a slight adjustment. But again, there's a lot of players in there. She has to stay connected. But we've also got two defenders. So this is where you recognize pressure on the ball. And you've got two defenders that are sort of narrowing the angle of that striker. And so Mish is just sitting in the middle of those two going,
yeah,
I'll cover that space. If she takes too big of a step to her right, which the player can't go there because we've got, I think it's actually Christy Mewis who's going to pressure the ball.
19.
Number 19, yep.
Yeah.
She actually she cuts off the ability for her to curl at far post.
Absolutely.
So Mish just takes a tiny step in and adjusts and covers the space between two defenders. You know, whereas Ash before, there's also attackers in the middle, so she's got to stay connected. But whereas Ash before and one of those ones with Sydney, she's gone out because there's no one in the middle. But there's also where our defender was showing her was where Ash has made the foot save. You know what I mean? So I think it's good for Mish to take a tiny little step and stay prepared. And then if the ball gets cut back to the top of the box, then she can just move again.
Yeah, and if Muse isn't there, then she has to readjust in a different way, because then that far post, that bending ball is on.
For sure.
But yeah, she sees the window, boom.
I think it's also an obstructed space where she's just trying to cover that gap, right? She's just trying to cover that gap of where the ball is coming. Yeah,
absolutely.
Boom.
For sure.
Yeah. Great decision.
I mean,
brilliant.
Yeah, generally, she, you know, the only place she's going to get beaten there is up towards near post or around you. Far post.
Yeah. So that was a conscious decision. So that wasn't a mishandle. That was a conscious decision on how.
Well,
that
ball's coming. It's only coming from like 5 yards, 6 yards away.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that part too. Yeah.
Yeah, she smashes it. I mean, look, you could argue that someone who is taller, for example, might catch that. You know, right. Or you could say maybe Mish, if you were a bit more upright, maybe you get your hands to it quicker. But again, there's no right or wrong answer. There's something that works for the individual in that moment.
Yeah.
And like you say, it is hit from 6 yards out. So she's just got to be able to be prepared to make a save in that window. So, she made the save.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's
spoiled.
That's...
Spoiled, you are.
Oh, I know. I know. I don't know why how they got some Aussie over here. I have no idea.
Oh my gosh. Well, Brody, I know Siski, you got to start running. So we'll start wrapping up this episode right here. Basically, kind of before we're kind of wrapping this up right here. Like, if you have like any thoughts, just in regards to like any young coaches out there who have. Can Siski, do you have time to watch Hensley for a second? Can you watch her for a second?
Yeah, go.
Cool. Okay. All right, cool. I just want to throw her up here because she's such a different she's such a different type.
Right.
That I really want people to see this here. And I just feel like this is a great way to end the episode here. So let's see if she's coming in here. Okay. So again, first off, we're talking about, look at the trait here. We're talking about long arms, long build, very different type of physical, design here, basically. Right, Brody?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So she could probably even start a bit higher here because she's so big. But
So this is a 32nd minute against Virginia. It's a corner that comes in. Hensley drops back to create depth. Now, here's the thing. A lot of goalkeepers at her height just go for everything because they just because they're so used to just having the height and the length. Oh, I just have to go for everything. But she recognizes how this ball is kind of dropping. And then this header right here drops to Diana Ordonez, who is lethal. I think she scored like 40 something goals for Virginia. It's like insane how good she is. The ball comes in, and now she uses that whole big body of hers. And now you're talking about, if you're 6'3" and you have long arms like this, this is where you can spread an emergency situation and make a massive save right there. That's 100%. Just unreal. Unreal right there. So I wanted to share that. I wanted to see what Saskia thought.
It is. No, and for her at 6'3" to be able to be big, get low, quick, and everything, it's a testament to her athleticism. Because a lot of the stigma is like 6'2", 6'3" for a woman is being able to have that agility to get to the ground, to spread yourself, everything. You know, you got a longer way to go. So her ability to do that and utilize her size at the same time, you know, it's great stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is phenomenal. Okay. I wanted to share that also because that's just a sheer bravery play right there in regards to just being instinctual and being brave and understanding what you have.
I think the other thing is maybe you talk to her and she's like, you know, maybe I should have come for the ball. Like she might say something like that. And I'm not saying she should have, I'm just saying maybe she should. But I say to a lot of players, don't follow. Let's say we all agreed she should have come for the ball. This is hypothetical. I'm not saying she should have. Don't follow one mistake by another. Like you'll find a lot of people say, oh, I should have come. And then they get themselves out of position. She realizes I didn't come for the ball. Now what's the best position I can get myself in for the second ball for the next play? As opposed to, you know, you got some kids, they'll say, I should have come for the first one. Let me come for this one. You know, like, but she didn't, she kept her cool. She said, okay, it's bouncing around. I got to keep my positioning. I got to make this next play. And that's what she did.
But I love this little crossover step right here because she recognizes she's got to come across right here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she covers that space.
That space down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Brody, man, this is awesome, man. I mean, we'll definitely have to have you back in the future. You got some great stuff. You got some great keepers. I mean, you're just so blessed.
I know.
I
pinch myself. I pinch myself every day.
That's the depth of NWSL.
Training must be fun.
Oh, my gosh. It's
we
just
have a goal.
I know, like, share. Gosh.
Hey, you guys, more than what, come out and I don't
do the hiring for Angel City. I can't. It's not that they don't have great goalkeepers, I'm just saying.
Well, you'll be out on the West Coast soon enough. You'll be out on the West Coast soon enough.
We'll have to catch up.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah, if we train out there, come and hang out.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'll have to look at that schedule and see. After the Challenge Cup, what's a regular season? I think the schedule gets a little
our
bit more.
Our first game's the 29th, our home game.
29th? Oh, wow.
Our home game.
Is that at the bank?
Bank. Yep.
All right.
Hey, that's exciting.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
That's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. I was hanging out with the Angel City supporters on Sunday.
They're crazy.
At a birthday party. So
they're crazy.
It was quite a fun toast. Shout out to them for inviting me out to that party. Brody, if anybody here wants to connect with you, where's the best place to connect?
Probably my Instagram, which is Brody K Sams. That's probably the best place to catch me. I'm still trying to sort out Facebook and Twitter. Twitter's not massive over in Australia. Well, at least I haven't been on it. And I've realized that since being here, that's where everything happens. So I'll have to get one.
No, everything's happening now on the Union. That's where you got to check
it out. That's right.
Hey, let's go. Let's get on the Union.
Right there. Free Union goalkeeper community on all platforms, guys. The Union Sports. That's the link tree right there. Never mind the name Omar Zini right there. It's the link tree. It's not going to be like an Omar Zini fan page.
Or go to theunionsports.com.
Yeah, which is the easiest way, guys. Different sports communities, connecting the sports communities. Goalkeeping community is the first one we launched. Brody, we got to get you on there, man, sharing your
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, get on there and post some of this stuff so everybody can awesome. Steal it.
Yeah. Look, there's no such thing as stealing.
That I know. Trust me. Share.
Let's share. Absolutely. Let's all get better.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right, guys, if you want to reach out to us, contact at insidethe18media.com or at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union or other social medias if you're not on the Union yet, but really join the Union. At Suskia_Weber on traditional social medias, at Suskia on the Union, at ProGK Academy_ on traditional social media, at ProGK Academy on the Union. That's all the time on Inside the 18, guys. Join the Union. We are out. Later, guys.
Bye, guys.
See ya.